the battle for the heart. Are we willing to say, are we willing to surrender completely to the Lord and say, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do. If you'll go ahead and mark your hymnals 275 for I Surrender All. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you that that's the invitation. Open your Bibles to Luke. Did I get the wrong? I didn't get it? Oh, that's last week's. So I forgot to change it. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 24. Please stand in honor of our Lord and respect for the ever-living, eternally holy, inerrant, infallible, miraculously inspired written word of God. And folks, for the God of the written word. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, New American Standard Bible I'm reading from. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. At that very time, Jesus rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them. May God bless the reading of His Word. Father, as we have opened Your Word and read it, speak to our hearts this morning. Grant us understanding. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Y'all forgive me. I will turn my back. All right. Well, in this series on guarding your heart, we are dealing with how we can allow and are to allow God to make our heart fully surrendered and alive through a vibrant and growing relationship with Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. My first point this morning is introducing the topic of the battle for the heart. Now, I don't know if how many of you have seen the movie before, Lord of the Rings, But in the promotional previews of the movie, there were three phrases that flashed across the screen. The first one was, fate has chosen him. The second, the fellowship will protect him. And the third, evil will hunt him. Now, you're probably wondering, what on earth has that got to do with our topic this morning? Well, first, in order to make sense of this, I need to point out that we are called and chosen by God. Every one of us who received Christ, we are called and chosen by God. Now, we won't get into the Calvinistic thing of all of that. We still have the choice, but we're called and we're chosen. Okay, that's a whole different sermon. These three statements, being chosen, being protected, and experiencing evil, describe some of the key principles of following Christ. For you see, the protection that Jesus provides is similar to that which God promised in the Old Testament. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. Now that rock of flint, that was Jesus Christ, by the way. The rock. Okay? The Lord also used scorpions as a metaphor for human obstacles to one's call. For example, if you turn to Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words, though thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house." Now, sometimes serpents are associated with Satan, demons, magic, as well as the representatives of Satan's host, the demonic presence. Folks, believe it or not, there is a battle for man's heart. And we have a real bona fide enemy whose goal is to do nothing but capture our heart and destroy our lives. Dr. Adrian Rogers described our battle in his book, The Incredible Power of Kingdom Authority. He had this to say. Excuse me. "We may think our enemy is flesh and blood, but the true enemy is not the government or Republicans or Democrats, your wife or your family, wife's family, or your boss. Your enemy is not the pornographer, the liquor baron, or the drug pusher. They are only victims of our common enemy. The reason that so many times we don't win the battle is that we never show up for the war. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The enemy is a spiritual foe, and the battle is a spiritual battle." Amen. Folks, it's time for us to show up for the battle. And our battle strategy begins by recognizing and seeing the adversary, who is Satan. who is our enemy. We read earlier that Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven when Peter tried to convince Jesus to avoid going to Jerusalem where he would suffer for the sins of the world. And Jesus rebuked Peter by saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, why did Jesus say that? Well, because, you see, Jesus saw a greater force working behind the scenes. Most Christians are so consumed with what we can see and touch, we rarely consider the instruction of Paul, who challenged the saints to see the unseen in 2 Corinthians 4:18. When we argue or struggle with a rebellious child, we must realize, folks, that an enemy is attacking our family. Author John Eldridge identifies the volitional ignorance of the enemy as the most dangerous choice a believer can ever make. He said, "To live in ignorance of spiritual warfare is the most naive and dangerous thing a person can do. It's like skipping through the worst part of town, waving your wallet above your head. It's like walking into an Al-Qaeda training camp wearing a t-shirt that says, 'I love the United States.'" It's like swimming with sharks dressed like a wounded sea lion and with blood all over you. Choosing to ignore the battle does not make the enemy go away. Refusing to fight Satan, folks, is dangerous, and it's disobedience. It dishonors the call of God upon your life. I'm going to need another one of those, PK. And it endangers your family. Folks, Satan is a liar. Satan is a thief, an accuser of the brethren. He's a murderer, a roaring lion that devours, a deceptive angel of light, the author of confusion. Satan is a false teacher and an enemy of the cross. Why does the world hate the symbol of the cross? Because the cross is where Satan was defeated. And he does not like to be reminded of it. We are engaged in a cosmic battle. The church, folks, the church is not a cruise ship sailing for heaven. We are not invited to ride the gospel showboat that entertains the saints. We are called to serve on a battleship that destroys strongholds and delivers the gospel to those living in darkness. Thirdly, we must stand with authority. Jesus declared in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 of our text, he said, "Look, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Now, don't get ahead of me here, okay? In God's original design, man was given authority or dominion over all creation. However, man forfeited that authority because of sin. Now, through Jesus Christ, the authority that God designed for his followers has been restored. We possess, those of us who have trusted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we possess authority over Satan and over his forces of evil. But we only possess him through Jesus Christ. I personally, folks, do not have any authority over one single thing. In fact, I can do nothing in and of myself. However, since I have asked Jesus to come into my heart and into my life as my Savior and my Lord, and since He is mine and I am His and I'm in Him, and according to the Scripture, I share in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection, folks, I also share in His victory. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I'm struggling this morning. I feel the oppression of Satan, because, folks, he doesn't want us to hear this truth that we have this morning. But we stand against him, not upon my authority, not upon my power, not upon yours, but upon the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Therefore, since Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, which is, by the way, the seat of authority, and the Word says that we are actually seated with Him. I don't know how many times I've read that, but I've read right over it. And this made me stop and think. I'm seated with Christ on the seat of authority, folks. You are too, as long as you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. The Word says that we are actually seated with Him. Verse 6. Then, do I not possess then authority over Satan and his forces of evil? In other words, folks, I possess the ability to overcome sin. We struggle with this doctrinal truth because we don't feel like we have that authority, do we? We also fail to recognize the difference between authority and power. Satan is powerful. Don't get me wrong. He is still extremely powerful. He is deceptive. He is persuasive. He is sinister. He is strong. But folks, Jesus is more powerful and has all authority. Look at Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That is so wonderful to me. Praise God. That means, folks, that Satan no longer has any authority. He has been stripped completely to lower than the lowest of the demons. Just as a referee has authority in a football game to limit the activities of the players on the field, we can limit Satan's influence in our life. For example, referees are not more powerful than their players. Professional football players often exceed 300 pounds. Linebackers weighing 250 pounds run with the speed of a wide receiver, and they hit like a freight train. But these monsters in helmets will stop on a dime and back up when a little man dressed in a black and white striped shirt blows a whistle or throws a yellow flag. Folks, our battles with the enemy should always be with the consciousness that we have authority over him through Christ. Because the enemy is a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him on the cross, at the cross. And when we are born again, we receive this authority. We inherit, folks, the name of Jesus. The name that is above every name. And because of that, we can now use that name against the enemy. When I was born into my dad and mother's family, I inherited the name Harden. And that name carries the authority of the Harden clan. As a child of God, I inherited the name of Jesus Christ. His name is above all authority in heaven and in earth. However, we should never, never try to compete with Satan according to strength. Remember, his legion of demons and spiritual forces are stronger than our flesh. Therefore, we do not wage war with weapons of flesh, but through God for the demolition of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:14. Our fourth and final point this morning is a crucial element if we are to stand with authority. And that is to surrender your ability. Jesus said, "The truth about spiritual authority has been hidden from wise men and revealed to infants." That's Luke 10:21, part of our text. A child, folks, in the arms of God is mightier than the armies of the world. Through weaknesses, we experience our greatest strength. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. Folks, when we are willing to surrender to God as a child surrenders to their loving parents, we can access the power of God in our lives. I am convinced that this aspect of our faith is more difficult for us to grasp than seeing the unseen or applying authority. As proud Americans, we do not want to submit or surrender to anyone. Period. The problem is that we fail to see that we're not surrendering to the enemy, but to a loving and all-powerful God. A Romanian Christian, Yosef Tison, made the following insightful observation about American Christianity. He said, "The key word in American Christianity is commitment. When you make a commitment, you are in control no matter how noble the thing you commit to." Stop and think about that. Now listen to the rest of what he says. No one can commit to pray, study the Bible, to give money, or to lose weight. But surrender, or excuse me, I said no one. I said one can, you can, let me read that again. One can commit to pray, to study the Bible, to give money, or to lose weight. You can commit to that. But surrender is different. Listen to what he says. If someone holds a gun and asks you to lift your hands as a token of surrender, you don't tell that person what you're committed to. You simply surrender and do as you're told. Americans love commitment because they are still in control. But the key word of following Christ is surrender. We are called to be slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's heavy. Joseph had suffered persecution in communist Romania. He had been imprisoned and beaten. He had watched his loved ones murdered in front of him by the iron fist of Nicolae Ceausescu, one of the most brutal dictators in the history of the world. He also witnessed the defeat of Ceausescu by childlike faith. On the gray stone walls of the Hungarian Reformed Church hangs a plaque proclaiming in four languages, "Here began the revolution that felled a dictator." Romanian Christians did not have a military. They had a Messiah. The Romanian Christians did not have tanks. They had the truth. They did not have weapons. They had the weapon, the word. They did not have strength, but they had a Savior who promised His divine authority to those who believe. Joseph learned the paradox of victory through surrender. We should learn it too. I wonder, are you willing to do more than commit your life to Christ and surrender your life to Christ? Don't commit your life to Christ, people. Surrender to Him. Surrender to Him by serving Him, by being an active part of His body, the church. I've heard people say, "I believe in Christ, but I don't like to go to church." That doesn't compute, because you see, the church is Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Surrender to Him by being a witness of His love and grace. In other words, by being so into the Word of God and studying the Word, that no matter where you go, people will know that you are a follower of Christ, and you will be able to tell them how they too can know and live and walk in the same joy and peace that you have. Folks, are we willing to make that decision? Are you willing? I'm willing. I sang the song, "Whatever It Takes." I'm willing, Lord. In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our song of invitation, "I Surrender All." If by chance you haven't made the decision to personally commit your life, to surrender your life, rather, to Christ, will you do that today? Will you do it right now, right where you're seated? And then when we start to sing, will you come and tell me? Will you go ahead and ask Jesus to forgive you of your past? If there's any question of anything that you've done, just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Come into my heart and my life as my Savior and my Lord. And then make that decision public. Maybe some of you are here and God is talking to you about being a part of the body of believers. Will you be willing to be a part of this body of Christ and serve Him here? Our arms are open wide. We will receive you. The choice is yours. Whatever Christ has said or is saying to you, respond to Him today. As we stand and as we sing, you make that decision to follow Christ today.